We're going to be in Genesis chapter 32 today. So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn there. I don't need you today, Tim. I did it without you. So, this is part 2 of part 6. And the verse that we've been going off, if anyone hasn't been here, is Colossians 3:15. And I'll just read that to you. And then we're going to read Genesis 32. But before we do that, I want to read one more time. Or just now. This is the first time this morning. Colossians. Three. 14 and 15. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now to Genesis. The reason I picked Genesis for this, it's before Exodus. The reason I picked this section with conflict in mind, or conflict resolution in mind, is because of the conflict that we know that was going on between Jacob and Esau. Let's read together. Genesis 32, verse 1. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." So he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother in the land of Seir and the country of Edom, instructing them, Thus you shall say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Jacob, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male servants, and female servants. I have sent to tell my lord in order that I may find favor in your sight. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, We came to your brother Esau, and he is coming to meet you, and there are 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He divided the people who were with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels into camps, thinking, if Esau comes to one camp and attacks it, then the camp that is left will escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, Return to your country and to your kindred, that I may do you good. I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two camps. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me, the mothers with the children. But you said, I will surely do you good, and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So he stayed there that night, and from what he had with him, he took a present for his brother Esau, 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milking camels and their calves, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. These he handed over to his servants, every drove by itself, and said to his servants, Pass on ahead of me and put a space between drove and drove. He instructed the first, When Esau, my brother, meets you and asks you, To whom do you belong? Where are you going? And whose are these ahead of you? Then you shall say, They belong to your servant Jacob. They are a present sent to my lord Esau, and moreover, he is behind us. He likewise instructed the second and the third and all who followed the droves. You shall say the same thing to Esau when you find him. And you shall say, moreover, your servant Jacob is behind us, for he thought, I may appease him and with the present that goes ahead of me. And afterward, I shall see his face. Perhaps he will accept me. So the present passed on ahead of him, and he himself stayed that night in the camp. Verse 22. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. Keep that in mind. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the day has broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. The sun arose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. I'm going to read this to you, and then we're going to pray. Conflicts are not a natural part, or are a natural, sorry. Conflicts are a natural part of any relationship. Effective conflict resolution involves addressing issues calmly, finding common ground, and working together mutually beneficial, working towards mutual beneficial solutions. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for your word, most of all. And I thank you that we can have it, that we can hold it in our hands and open it up, study it, close it, set it aside, come back to it, bring it with us, have it on our phones at any moment, open it up on a little screen, hear it read to us. We are very blessed. And we need to utilize the blessing that we have. We need to take hold of it, and we need to use it to the glory of your name. Not hold it back, but trust you and trust your plan. And know that you order our steps. Father, I thank you that you take us through the hard trials, the hard seasons, the high seasons, and all of it. It's because you know the outcome. You know what we need, but you know that you want to reveal yourself to us, and you want to complete a task that will never be fully completed until we're with you, because we won't have this body. But our soul will be with you in new bodies. And Father, let our minds be heavenward as we go through trials, as we go through each and every day. We wake up in the morning, let us be thinking of heaven. Let us be thinking of your kingdom in the heavens. Pass the clouds, the heavens, but into the heaven. Would we think of that time that we will be with you for all time. Help us to endure. Just help us now as we go through these scriptures, as you bring to life what is needed for each of us individually and corporately. I thank you for each that are here, and I ask that you would open our eyes and our hearts and our minds, that we would be soft to the word. That our hearts would be opened, the circumcision of our hearts, to take on the word and to apply it first to ourselves and then care for those who are around us. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been reading over this for a few days. I've been thinking about it for a few weeks, but I've been reading through it and going through and seeing Rebecca, Isaac, Jacob, Esau, and the dealings that went on back and forth, in and out. And there's an overview that we can take, which we should have, I believe, from Scripture overall, is that there is a concept, not a concept, there is one main thing going on, one main representation, one laid out situation, but there's many applications that we can take and apply to our own lives and see within as we get deeper into Scripture. Because we can read through, as we just read through, chapter 32 of Genesis, and we can see what just went on, what was happening, what Jacob was going to be doing, where he was going to be going, how he feared his brother. And I can see why he would have feared his brother, because of what he did to his brother and the deception that was put in front of him to his brother. But through this, we can see deceit. We can see trickery. We can see plans of self-prosperity. Prosperity itself, when you look not just in 32, but if you go all the way back, well, not all the way, but a little ways back, you go to chapter 27 and then 26, you have God who gives his promise to Isaac, but then 27 all the way up to 32 and into 33, you can see, as I just said, self-prosperity, prosperity, heart changes, hatred, revelation of the flesh, peace is there, contentment, unrest, man's will and God's will. And we could just keep going, picking out all different things we can find within it. But there are many gems that we can pull from this as well, in even the different words that I just said a moment ago, with self-prosperity or prosperity itself. There's gems within that for us to see for ourselves. But sometimes, or always, I should say, we need to see what the text first said in order to see for ourselves what is needed in our life. And I had a lot of thoughts throughout this. Good thoughts. Questioning thoughts. But A.W. Tozer said, "The Lord cannot fully bless a man until he has first conquered him." And as we seen, or just a moment ago when we read through Genesis 32, 22 and on, God conquered Jacob by weakening him. I don't know how you've heard this text told to you before, and I've read through it a few times, and there's a few perspectives that come into play when you come into commentaries. But when you look at the prevailing that happened within this portion, and this is from Genesis 32, 22 on to 32, There is flesh that is being introduced. There is the will of a man being presented to us and the battle that goes on with the flesh. And we all have that daily. Yes, we have been made right in Christ, but daily, we were just talking about this earlier with Julie, we have this battle that goes on, but it is won through Christ. But that's where our focus has to be then, so then we can keep enduring and glorifying God in our life. I want to give you a quick little overview here. Back a little further in chapter 27 and onward up to 32. We know that Jacob was a little deceitful. At times, he could be. You can see that for yourselves in Genesis 27, 35. So was his mother. You can see that through Genesis 27, 5 to 17. But she had a plan. She had a purpose. She was thoughtful in her wit, is what I would say, so that Jacob could get the blessing. But always remember, God's hand is not lifted off of his people. It's there. And Jacob, we see in that portion too, he's like, okay, I'll trust you. I'll do what you're saying. I don't know what his thoughts were. You're my mother. I'm going to obey you because the law says to obey you. Whatever. I don't know his thoughts. I'm not going to infer on that. But we see that he did obey his mother, and that she would take on whatever repercussion happens on herself. But before he was born, Jacob and Esau, in chapter 25, 22 to 23, there was a planned out order that would happen. The older would serve the younger. And then we see Rebekah listening when Isaac spoke with Esau, Jacob's brother, in chapter 27, 5. With regard to Isaac blessing Esau and the conflict that arose. I'm just going to flip there with you, if you would, with me. Genesis 27:5. And I'm just going to read a little bit before this. In verse 1, it says, when Isaac was old, this is Genesis 27, when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his older son and said to him, my son. And he answered, here I am. We see that often through Scripture. He said, behold, I am old. I do not know the days of my death. Now then, take your weapons and your quiver and your bow and go out to the field and hunt for game. Hunt game for me and prepare for me delicious food such as I love and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you. Interesting words right there. Soul may bless you. Before I die. You can search that on your own. And then verse 5. Now Rebekah was listening. I always find that really neat. Listening to what was being said when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for the game and bring it. Then Rebekah said, verse 6. To her son Jacob, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless. She goes on and on, right? And set and shows Jacob what he must do in order to get the blessing. The conspiring of man in order to get what God already said he was going to do. But it was God's will and sovereignty that all this would go through exactly how it went. And it was perfect in how it went. Not that the flesh and the desires of sin are perfect, but what happened was exactly what needed to be conspired so that man, Jacob, chapter 32, 22 to 32, could see himself. Jacob needed to understand his own flesh and what it was in his life. So from the womb, Jacob was a little fighter. I don't know if you noticed that too, right? He grabs the heel of his brother. I'll hold on to you. I have twins in my family, my two sisters. They're twins. I don't think they did that, but they were born pretty early. I know that. They were pretty tiny. I didn't see them. They're 9 years older than me. But Jacob's name itself, though, for something for you to take, in Hebrew, means heel catcher or to follow. Maybe you know that already. But then, just let's keep going here a bit. Rebekah's plan to Jacob had lies within it. Not just the deception of actions, but full-out lies is what Jacob had to do. Jacob fully had to lie to his father. Not just a little bit of deception, kind of like with Esau and the birthright with Jacob. You know, I'll give you some food, sure, and then you give me your birthright. And Esau, don't forget about Esau on this, because sometimes we focus so much on Jacob that we forget about Esau. He just gives it up to fill his stomach. Oh, I'm starving. Just give me food. I'll give you my birthright. I don't care about it anyways. This is more or less what Esau said himself. But Rebekah had a plan. And often you see through this, Rebekah was listening or heard or hears things, and she brings it, and then she tries to instill what she thinks needs to happen, the flesh. So his own father, Jacob, lies to. Genesis 27, 19 and 24. He lies to his father. We can read him. 19, it says, of Genesis 27, Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. Well, we know that Isaac is blind, can't see. He's wondering, what? Are we sure about this? Then later on in verse 24, he said, are you really my son Esau? Because he knew the voice was different, right? Something was up. But I'll believe you. You're my son. I'll believe you. Second lie there that I just said in verse 24. Two times, he flat out lies to his father.